Hello, and welcome to Page Turn, the Largo Public Library podcast. I'm your host, Hannah. Page Turn is a monthly podcast bringing you information about great books, library news, and fun library tidbits from your favorite programs, as well as a Spanish language book review from Victor. But as always, we start with Reader's Advisory. Yash Raji, California's first serious Indian gubernatorial candidate, has always known exactly what he wants and how to use his privileged background to get it. He attributes his success to a simple mantra: control your feelings and you can control the world. But when a hate-fueled incident at a rally critically injures his friend, Yash's easy life suddenly feels like a lie, his control an illusion. When he tries to get back on the campaign trail, he blacks out with panic. Desperate to keep Yash's condition from leaking to the media, his family turns to the one person they trust, his best friend's sister, India Dashwood, California's foremost stress management coach. Raised by a family of yoga teachers, India has helped San Francisco's high-strung overachievers for a decade without so much as altering her breath. But this man, with his boundless ambition, simmering intensity, and absolute faith in his political beliefs, is like no other. Yash has spent a lifetime repressing everything to succeed, including their one magical night 10 years ago, a too brief, too bright passion that, if rekindled, threatens the life he's crafted for himself. Exposing the secret might be the only way to save him, but it's also guaranteed to destroy the dream he's willingly shouldered for his family and community. Until now. Today's Reader's Advisory is Incense and Sensibility by Sonali Dev. Incense and Sensibility is a pastiche of Jane Austen's Sense and Sensibility, told from an Indian-American perspective. The book has both culturally diverse characters and characters with disability. The novel is heartwarming, engaging, and romantic. Readers may also enjoy While We Were Dating by Jasmine Guillory. Ben Stevens has never bothered with serious relationships. He has plenty of casual dates to keep him busy, family drama he's trying to ignore, and his advertising job to focus on. When Ben lands a huge campaign featuring movie star Anna Gardner, however, it's hard to keep it purely professional. Anna is not just gorgeous and sexy, she's also down-to-earth and considerate, and he can't help flirting a little. Anna Gardner is on a mission to make herself a household name, and this ad campaign will be a great distraction while she waits to hear if she's booked her next movie. However, she didn't expect Ben Stevens to be her biggest distraction. She knows mixing business with pleasure never works out, but why not indulge in a harmless flirtation? But their lighthearted banter takes a turn for the serious when Ben helps Anna in a family emergency and they reveal truths about themselves to each other, truths they barely shared with those closest to them. When the opportunity comes to turn their real-life fling into something more for the Hollywood spotlight, will Ben be content to play the background role in Anna's life and leave when the cameras stop rolling? Or could he be the leading man she needs to craft their own Hollywood ending? Or The Heiress by Molly Greeley. As a fussy baby, Anna Berg's doctor prescribed laudanum to quiet her, and now the young woman must take the opium-heavy tincture every day. Growing up sheltered and confined, removed from sunshine and fresh air, the pale and overly slender Anne grew up with few companions except her cousins, including Fitzwilliam Darcy. Throughout their childhoods, it was understood that Darcy and Anne would marry and combine their vast estates of Pemberley and Rosings. But Darcy does not love Anne or want her. After her father dies unexpectedly, leaving her his vast fortune, Anne has a moment of clarity. What if her life of fragility and illness isn't truly real? What if she could free herself from the medicine that clouds her sharp mind and leaves her body weak and lethargic? Might there be a better life without the medicine she has been told she cannot live without? In a frenzy of desperation, Anne discards her laudanum and flees to the London home of her cousin, Colonel John Fitzwilliam, who helps her through her painful recovery. Yet, once she returns to health, new challenges await. Shy and utterly inexperienced, the wealthy heiress must forge a new identity for herself, learning to navigate a season in society and the complexities of love and passion. The once wan, passive Anne gives way to a braver woman with a keen edge, leading to a powerful reckoning with the domineering mother determined to control Anne's future and her life. Or, When Dimple Met Rishi by Sandhya Menon. Dimple Shah has it all figured out. With graduation behind her, she's more than ready for a break from her family and from Mama's inexplicable obsession with her finding the ideal Indian husband. Ugh. Dimple knows they must respect her principles on some level, though. If they truly believed she needed a husband right now, they wouldn't have paid for her to attend a summer program for aspiring web developers, right? Rishi Patel is a hopeless romantic. So when his parents tell him that his future wife will be attending the same summer program, wherein he'll have to woo her, he's totally on board. Because as silly as it sounds to most people in his life, Rishi wants to be arranged, believes in the power of tradition, stability, and being a part of something much bigger than himself. The Shahs and Patels didn't mean to start turning the wheels on this suggested arrangement so early in their child's lives. But when they noticed them both gravitating towards the same summer program, they figured, why not? Dimple and Rishi may think they have each other figured out. But when opposites clash, love works hard to prove itself in the most unexpected ways. Bonus segment! My personal favorite Goodreads list, In Sense and Sensibility is on, is Sense and Sensibility, inspired by, and sequels to. Happy reading, everyone! This month's library tidbit comes to us from Sarah, the adult programming librarian, and is all about Bob Ross and the joy of painting. We have done a few of these programs, and some of you may have enjoyed them already. Bob Ross was born in 1942 in Daytona, Florida. He joined the Air Force in 1960. While he was stationed in Alaska, he took a USO painting lesson, and the painting bug bit hard. When he left the Air Force, Bob moved back to Florida and was introduced to the wet-on-wet painting technique through a class by William Alexander. William Alexander was a German painter whose The Magic of Oil Painting ran on PBS from 1974 till 1982. William Alexander created the specific style of wet-on-wet that made Bob Ross famous, and as Bob Ross became more famous, his relationship with William Alexander became more strained. William Alexander believing that Bob Ross betrayed him by copying the technique. He also claimed that Bob Ross borrowed some of the verbal patter that we all recognize today. The wet-on-wet technique that both painters use is a modern take on an old technique that's also called alla prima. This is a technique that requires fast oil painting, as the entire painting needs to be finished before the first layer of oil paint dries. Painting alla prima means adding layers of oil paints on top of each other. This style of painting allows for the ability to create fast oil paintings, as you do not have to wait for the previous layer to dry. It also allows for some mixing of colors on the canvas. The wet-on-wet technique used by Bob Ross was tweaked by adding a layer of thinned white paint across the entire canvas before starting on the painting. This primes the canvas for quicker alla prima painting. Priming the canvas in this way would allow Ross or Alexander to paint a landscape within the 30-minute runtime of their shows. Bob Ross was passionate about sharing his love of painting. He started The Joy of Painting on public television in 1982. To promote the show, Ross would tour the country, doing live classes at shopping malls and art stores. As the popularity of the show grew, so did his audiences at the classes. Most of Ross's success and appeal was persona. Almost everything people love about Ross was a carefully put together persona. This is not to say that he was not being genuine, but that Ross wanted to make sure that his show was accessible, enjoyable, and timeless. He specifically chose to wear jeans and a button-down shirt because he believed it would be a timeless look for future viewings of the show. Ross also consciously spoke as if he only had one viewer, so that everyone watching felt that he was teaching just them. The biggest appeal of Bob Ross for people was his calm and smooth voice. It is often joked that Bob Ross started painting ASMR. ASMR stands for Autonomous Sensory Meridian Response and is a tingling sensation, typically from the scalp down the back, that is triggered by some people due to specific stimuli. Not everyone experiences ASMR, but a popular genre of ASMR videos include brushstrokes and soft calming whispering, both of which are key facets of the joy of painting. Bob Ross was also unrelentingly positive, something that is best shown in quotes. Some of these sayings appeared often, and some less so, but here are a few to illustrate his positivity. We don't make mistakes, just happy little accidents. There's nothing wrong with having a tree as a friend. I can't think of anything more rewarding than being able to express yourself to others through painting, exercising the imagination, experimenting with talents, being creative. These things, to me, are truly the windows to your soul. The secret to doing anything is believing that you can do it. Anything that you believe you can do strong enough, you can do. Anything, as long as you believe. Let's build a happy little cloud. Let's build some happy little trees. Sadly, Bob Ross died on July 4th, 1995, at the age of 52 from lymphoma. Ross was a lifelong smoker and hid his health problems from the general public until after his death. While Ross was alive, he was a beloved television personality. After he passed, his popularity was slightly waning, until in 2015, when the streaming service Twitch, which up until that point was pretty solely just used for video game streaming, streamed a 9-day marathon of The Joy of Painting and introduced Bob Ross to a whole new audience. Since that time, interest and love for the painter has continued. We hope you sign up for one of our The Joy of Painting programs and spend a relaxing and smoothing time beating the devil out of your paintbrushes. And now it's time for Book Traveler with Victor.
Bienvenidos a un nuevo episodio de Viajero de Libros. Mi nombre es Víctor y soy bibliotecario de acceso a la comunidad en la Biblioteca Pública de Largo. Hoy les voy a hablar sobre un libro de no ficción que tenemos en la colección que se titula Latinx en busca de las voces que redefinen la identidad latina por Paola Ramos. Sinopsis. El primer paso hacia el cambio es reconocer que nuestro poder nace de nuestra identidad. Los jóvenes latinos en los Estados Unidos están redefiniendo su identidad, rompiendo moldes establecidos y despertando políticamente de manera sorprendente y poderosa. Muchos de ellos, afrolatinos, indígenas, musulmanes, queer e indocumentados, tanto en zonas urbanas como rurales, representan voces históricamente ignoradas en el modo en que la diversa población de casi 6 millones de latinos en Estados Unidos ha sido representada. Hasta ahora. En esta inspiradora crónica de viaje de costa a costa, la periodista y activista Paola Ramos emprende una búsqueda de los individuos y comunidades que dan vida a un nuevo movimiento que se define en el término controversial Latinx. Ramos nos presenta a un grupo de indígenas originarios de Oaxaca que ha reinventado la calle mayor de un pueblo industrial en el estado de Nueva York, Las Poderosas, que luchan por derechos reproductivos en Texas, a unos músicos en Milwaukee que con sus ritmos confrontan a otros sobre sus raíces. A lo largo de este viaje encontramos también a activistas ambientales, trabajadores de campo, drag queens e inmigrantes detenidos en la frontera. A partir de su trabajo periodístico sobre el terreno, así como de su historia personal, Ramos ilustra cómo el término Latinx ha dado paso a un sentimiento de pertenencia y solidaridad sin precedentes entre los latinos de este país. Revelante e inspirador, Latinx nos invita a expandir nuestra conciencia de lo que significa ser latino y ser estadounidense, y cómo ambas identidades conviven dentro y fuera de esta comunidad. Opinión. Paola Ramos organiza Latinx geográficamente, recorriendo los Estados Unidos desde la costa oeste hasta el sur, la costa este y finalmente hasta el medio oeste. Además de proporcionar investigación y sus propias anécdotas personales, incluye relatos de las muchas personas latinx que conoció en todo el país. Voces de personas jóvenes, comprometidas y comunes que apenas comienzan a ser escuchadas. Además de ser un término inclusivo de género, Latinx está destinado a capturar todos los grupos que están subestimados y olvidados. Latinx es para todos dentro de la comunidad LGBTQ, pueblos indígenas, personas que no hablan español como su lengua materna o en lo absoluto, personas que enfrentan adicciones, personas de diferentes religiones, personas con enfermedades mentales, personas de diferentes identidades políticas y más. Latinx logra de manera ingeniosa su objetivo de definir la latinidad como una oportunidad para crear coaliciones políticas y culturales que reconozcan las luchas comunes. Es un libro muy recomendado. Es todo por hoy. Hasta la próxima edición de Viajero de Libros. Hasta luego.
Thanks, Victor, for another great book review. Remember, if you happen to not know Spanish, check out our English language translation in the show notes. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Check out our events calendar on our homepage. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again soon. Including their one magical night 10 years ago.